And welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. Jay Binkley, Jed Marshall, producing the operation as he's done all season long. I think we were good luck, Jed. You feed us and we work. Kristen Osero has you covered from 3 a.m. till Bob and Josh, 5:58 a.m. We'll see what kind of shape clings at 5:58 in the morning, though. Who knows? Fesco will be here.
Oh, for sure. Uno Sarah's also going to be a swell guy and sit in with us from 2 to 3.
Yeah, he did it one other time this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a good look back and forth talking. You know the Chiefs, how they lost to the Colts this year? You know the Eagles didn't beat the Colts till a minute 40 left in that game? Isn't it crazy that they played the two Super Bowl participants so well? That team was an absolute disaster this year. But something we do each and every week, Jed, we take a look at the touchdowns to the voice of Mitch Holtis and college.
It's time for Touchdown Kansas City.
Hardman waits for a block, and he gets the 15, 10, explodes, dives, the Jet has landed the plane!
A highlight-filled summary of the game with the voice of Chiefs Kingdom, Mitch Holtis.
Touchdown Kansas City!
That's right, Touchdown Kansas City brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. That's right. So the Tully touchdowns of the game, and there was a lot of them today for the Kansas City Chiefs. But we'll start off here. It wasn't the Chiefs. It was the Eagles with the first touchdown of the game.
The Eagles line up right behind Hurts, who's going to try to plow in on a quarterback sneak. And did they give it to him? There's a penalty flag on the play. It is a one-yard quarterback sneak by Jalen Hurts as he now gets his 16th rushing touchdown this season, including the playoffs. That's most by a quarterback all time in NFL history.
Yeah, Jalen
Hurts with the one-yard QB sneak.
Yeah, he had a great game today. It was 11 plays, 75-yard drive, taking 4:51 off the clock. There was 10:09 left in the first quarter when Jalen Hurts made it 7-0 Philly. But then the Chiefs would get on the board in the first quarter as well.
Mahomes spread set 2x2 with Pacheco in the backfield. Mahomes in the pocket, floats a pass near side, Kelce over the shoulder, he's got the catch, he's got the touchdown! Kansas City, a beautifully thrown ball as Mahomes to Kelce, 18 yards officially, and the 14th time that Patrick Mahomes has found Travis Kelce for a postseason touchdown, second in National Football League history.
Second to only Jerry Rice. There's Jerry Rice and Travis Kelce in the postseason. That's your list. Unbelievable. It was 6 plays, 75 yards, taking 3:12 off the clock. Tie game. It's 7-7 in the first quarter. We moved to the second quarter, and once again, it was Jalen Hurts this time through the air.
Chris Jones up front along with Colin Saunders, George Karloftis, and Frank Clark. In the pistol this time, Miles Sanders is lined up right behind Jalen Hurts. He fakes to him, does Hurts. Hurts wants to throw, and he's throwing long for A.J. Brown, trying to locate the ball, and comes back to it and catches it. Touchdown, Philadelphia Eagles, a 45-yard touchdown pass. The Chiefs had it covered initially, and then Trent McDuffie lost track of the football while A.J. Brown stayed with it, and the Eagles take the lead.
A.J. Brown with an incredible reception. That was a 45-yard pass from Jalen Hurts. 5 plays, 68 yards, 2:32 off the clock. Could you imagine if Mahomes had someone like an A.J. Brown? I mean, seriously, could you imagine if he had somebody like that? So they made the score 14-7 Philadelphia at that point. It brings us to our Tully touchdown of the game. Tully touchdown brought to you by the Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. So raise a glass this week's Tully touchdown with Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. When it's game time, it's Tully time. None other. Let's welcome in Nick Bolton.
Spread set. Hurts by himself in the backfield. Threat to run and throw. Crouches down. He wants to run it. A quarter. Oh, the ball's out. He kicks the ball. It's picked up by Kansas City. They're going to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. A defensive score by Nick Bolton. Hurts got hit and kicked the ball. Picked up by Bolton. And the Chiefs defense gets an incredible touchdown at 9:39 to go, second quarter.
Nick Bolton has been the most sure tackler on the Chiefs this year. He is the Chiefs' single-season all-time tackling leader, finished second in the National Football League in tackles. A huge 36-yard fumble scoop and score that he had there. Unbelievable play by Nick Bolton. Almost had one that was called back. It was real close. Would have had two touchdowns in this game. So at this point, the Kansas City Chiefs tie the game up 14-14 after Nick Bolton's scoop and score there. But it would be Philly getting on the board again.
First down goal to go, Jalen Hurts at the four-yard line. Sanders to his left, now sprints in motion. Quarterback draw, left Hurts, left side, touchdown. They use the motion to clear out the middle once again, and the Eagles regain a 20-14 lead on a four-yard touchdown for Jalen Hurts, his second TD of the game.
12 plays, 75 yards, 7:19 off the clock, a four-yard touchdown run by Jalen Hurts. So that put the Philadelphia Eagles up 21-14. Here's where the gap comes, 10-point lead by Philadelphia.
35-yard field goal attempt for Jake Elliott. 13-13 in his career in the playoffs. He's in his sixth year and will try this 35-yard attempt from the far hash. And Elliott's kick is good, and the Eagles get the last points of the half.
8 plays, 40 yards, minute 22 off the clock there. That 35-yarder making the score 24-14 at halftime. Remember what you felt like at that point? Mahomes had been hobbling around. Would he be okay in the second half? Chiefs were down 10 points. It looked bleak, didn't it? It looked real bleak, whether you're a Super Bowl party where you're watching it, but you've seen this team before. You know what this team does. What this team does is they don't give up. Patrick Mahomes in his career has only lost 2 games in the regular season by more than one score. 2! That's it. They've had a lead in the fourth quarter in 90 of his 93 games he's played. He has 1 postseason loss by more than one score that was against the Buccaneers, so 3 total in his career. So there's halftime, 24-14. The Chiefs needed a big drive in the third quarter to start things off, because the Chiefs, by the way, they scored every single time they got the ball in the second half, but Isaiah Pacheco got the first points of the second half.
Pence play of the drive, second down, goal to go at the 1. Pacheco in the backfield, along with McKinnon. They hand it off, left guard. Goes touchdown, Kansas City. Isaiah Pacheco blasting in behind the block of Joe Tooney, the left guard, and the Chiefs get a badly needed touchdown drive on this first drive of the third quarter at 9:30 to go, third quarter.
So there you go, third quarter right there, 24-21 at this point, 9:30 left in the third quarter. Philadelphia, though, would extend their lead temporarily.
This will be placed at the 23, a 33-yard attempt for Jake Elliott. And Elliott's kick, and it flies end over end good, but the Eagles lead by 6.
So the Eagles led by 6 at this point, 27-21. And the way the Chiefs came out in the second half, even though it scores 27-21, you're like, okay, if they score another touchdown, if the Chiefs score another touchdown, guess what? They got the lead. And things could be vastly different at that point. Well, that's exactly what happened.
Chiefs have not led in this game. They trail 27-21. They're going to throw a quick pass to Tony. He's got it on the edge. He will walk into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Kadarius Tony on a pick route to the near side. Couldn't be more wide open. A 5-yard touchdown pass from Mahomes. And now Butker can give the Chiefs the first lead of the game.
And Butker did miss the field goal earlier in this game, but that his extra point made the score 28-27, Kansas City. But they weren't done. This is in the fourth quarter, 12-4 remaining. So we got Kadarius Toney wide open in the end zone, and then it was Sky Moore's turn for his first NFL touchdown.
9:26 to go in the game. Third down, goal to go at the 4-yard line of Philadelphia. Ball will be snapped in the center of the field with McKinnon, the running back. A fast left side, wide open, Sky Moore, touchdown! Kansas City on a pivot route, and Kansas City has a chance now to get up by 8 points.
Wow, Sky Moore gets in the end zone there on a 4-yard strike from Patrick Mahomes. One of his 3 touchdowns in the game. Harrison Butker did make the extra point, making the score 35-27. Then it was guess who once again for the Eagles.
And now they'll sneak it again, try to sneak it in as Hurts. Did they give him the touchdown? They do. And a quarterback sneak is a TD for the Eagles. It'll make it 35-34 at 5:15 to go in the game. And will the Eagles probably go for 2 to tie it? Both teams have 2 timeouts remaining plus the 2-minute warning.
35-33 with 5:15 left in this game. Makes all the sense in the world to go for the tie here with a 2-point conversion would not be surprised if they opt to go back to that quarterback sneak.
Will they put two or three guys behind him? They won't. They'll go conventional. 35-33 Kansas City. Trying to tie it here are the Eagles on this two-point conversion. Brown moves to the right side in motion. Hurts. Long count. Sprint out action to the near side. He wants to run the ball. He's going to be hit. And he gets into the end zone to tie it at a two-point conversion. Tied at 35 apiece.
Okay, things starting to tighten up here. You know what they call that, Jed? Get a touchdown and you get the two-point conversion. You're the same person that does both.
I learned about this tonight from you, Jay. Yeah. Why don't you inform our listeners?
It is called an octopus.
An octopus.
That is when you score a touchdown and get the two-point conversion. So Jalen Hurts there with the octopus tying the game up at 35. But then it would be Harrison Butker, a chance for a 27-yard game winner. Keep this in mind. It's all set up by Smart Football. Remember Jarrett McKinnon sliding, keeping the ball? He could have scored an easy touchdown. The Eagles were going to give him a touchdown, not biting on it. He gets down. I mean, just unsung stuff by Jarrett McKinnon all year round. But this is what won the game.
Winchester, the veteran who's played in more postseason games than any other Chief, tied with Travis Kelce. Townsend will hold it. 11 seconds left in Super Bowl 57, 35-35 tie. The kick is good, and Kansas City leads 38-35 with 8 seconds to go in regulation in Super Bowl 57.
It's when it all starts to get real, Jed.
Absolutely, and kudos to Harrison Butker. I mean, two of the most important kicks were made by him, obviously, the one to send the Chiefs to the Super Bowl and then to win the Super Bowl. But one of the points that I thought you made that was outstanding, Jay, was talking about Jerick McKinnon, and what's one of the biggest narratives been over Andy Reid's time here is that he doesn't know how to manage the clock.
Clock management.
And tonight it was shown in spades that he actually does. I think it's very easy for us as fans when not hearing play calls and, you know, trying to do all of the logistics of coaching a game to sit and throw stones at people. But Andy Reid, I think, showed that he's absolutely great at what he's doing on the field.
I wonder how Philadelphia took that, because they were always talking about clock management with Andy in Philadelphia, like seeing him win with clock management. But anyway, that was the voice of Mitch Holtis. Then this, the final call of Mitch Holtis tonight.
Chiefs 38 and the Eagles 35. 6 seconds left in Super Bowl 57 regulation. Hurts takes the snap. The Chiefs only rushing two on a delay. Clock is going to be out of time, and the pass is going to be underthrown. It's incomplete. It's incomplete. Everyone who claims the Chiefs' kingdom will raise a banner above the National Football League again for the second time in 4 seasons. The Lombardi Trophy has a red and gold reflection, a big red reflection. The Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 57.
Well, it starts putting the Chiefs kind of in that rare era. Now with 3 Super Bowl titles, they get into a different club now. The Broncos, 3 and 8 tries. Chiefs now 3 in 5 tries for the Kansas City Chiefs. But then the question is this a dynasty? Which I think it is. It's the starting of a dynasty. Travis Kelce was asked this after the game.
It solidifies your greatness. You didn't get lucky once. It wasn't just beginner's luck or however you guys want to call it. You know, this is we took it. 2 years in a row, or not 2 years in a row, but 2 out of 4. There you go.
Do you consider this a dynasty?
You can call it a dynasty. You can call it whatever you want. All I know is that we're coming back next year with our heart and the right mindset on trying to get another one. I can tell you that right now.
Can't wait. You like that? You like hearing that stuff? Don't forget it was Kelce that after that Super Bowl loss against the Tampa Bay Bucks. They asked him, do you consider the season a success or failure? He did not consider it a success because they didn't win the ring. That's the kind of mentality that you need. Chris Jones was asked the same question. Is this a dynasty?
Do you think so?
2 out of 4.
Well, then there it goes. I don't have to speak about it. I told y'all this our first Super Bowl. I told y'all this. We're going to go back to back. Everybody laughed. Everybody thought I was just talking out the side of my neck. But, we've been very fortunate. The core here, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Bud, Tommy, Frank Clark. Frank Clark came here first year and won a Super Bowl.
You know, the core here is special, man. The core here is special. It's a special group of guys that I was fortunate enough to play with this year in the D-line room. Got my fingers crossed that we can bring everybody back, but I still want them to get paid and be successful on their own. You know, this type of thing, this is the bittersweet part about it, man, because, you know, you meet you have a special room and you guys win it, but, you know, the room always changing, always evolving. Players is always coming in and coming out. I just want to say here on record that I'm super, super grateful for the D-line this year.
How's the second one compared to the
special, Chris? You say you guys special. What makes you special?
This is probably the most unselfish group that I've been a part of. You know, starting with Frank Clark, man. Frank Clark, number three all-time in sacks in the playoffs. His whole goal for me last week was like, we got to get you a sack. And it wasn't the fact that I was caring about a sack, but it was the fact that he wanted me to have a sack so you guys can stop talking about it.
And I'm glad Chris Jones brought up Frank Clark. This has been a different Frank Clark this year, you know, taking the time to work with Karloftis up in training camp and, you know, be that veteran presence, you know, help guys along. I think it's kind of what the Chiefs do. They understand guys that they're competition, but they help other guys out. That's what makes the team successful. Now, we hear all these horror stories, Jed, where quarterbacks get drafted somewhere and, you know, the quarterback doesn't have anything to do with them once they're there, you know. But the Chiefs have always done this. Because I remember when Eric Fisher was drafted, you know, Brandon Albert helped him out. You know, he just Tom Bali and all the help that he gave D Ford. You know what I'm saying? It's what they do.
For sure. And I think that's a testament to Andy Reid and just his coaching style. But you also, when the dynasty conversation comes up, one of the first things that I thought about in hearing from Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, and Chris Jones obviously mentioned Frank Clark, that's one of the things that always sticks out to me when you think of teams of certain decades or dynasties per se, is that they always have big flamboyant personalities. And between Mahomes, Kelce, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, I mean, this team has it in spades. So I think that that's also another element that goes along with the perception of what a dynasty might be.
No question about it. It's going to be talked about and debated. By the way, if you want to enjoy the game still, well, you just put it on mute. It's on NFL Network if you want to see the Super Bowl again with the Chiefs and Eagles tonight. But it really gets good at the end, as you know. I mean, the first half.
What happened at the end?
The first half was frustrating. It really was.
Oh, okay.
But if you want to, you know, continue listening all night, maybe put on mute and just going to kind of see them win it. Spoiler alert, they're going to win.
Oh, one of the nicest things about tonight, I know that DraftKings and FanDuel are great partners of 610 Sports Radio. I was able to win a nice cool $36 tonight, Jay.
You know what Chris and Osiro won? Because he
probably won a lot of money.
He won $1,000.
Wow.
He had that boost at the beginning of the year. You know, he picked the Chiefs to win it all along. He got a cool $1,000 tonight with the Chiefs victory.
I was really proud of myself for my $5 parlay that turned into $18.
Didn't Chiefaholic, the guy that was in prison in Tulsa, he had like a bet on the Chiefs and Mahomes MVP, right?
We've been having a good night, and you had to go and ruin
it.
I'm just saying.
Wouldn't he get released for like, you know, to go to the Super Bowl vacation? But he has that big ticket too.
I don't think that you can be released from robbing a bank. You might be able to be bailed out of prison.
I'm just saying, but he's probably a happy man tonight because of that. I mean, he's got other things to worry about, but
oh my goodness.
So right now we'll head inside that locker room out in Phoenix, a player locker room sound brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Here's your two-time NFL MVP, now two-time Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes, after the game.
It was where we started at. We started in Texas in the off season. Me meeting basically a brand new group of receivers and learning what they did well, learning what we could get better at, and guys leading from there, man. I thought the guys accepted the challenge. It was a crazy year, but we ended up on top, man. You can't ask for any more from those guys.
You had the scramble play. How much was your ankle hurting tonight?
I mean, it felt great until I kind of rolled it a little bit. I thought really good, and then that happened, and I had a lot of soreness going through into halftime, and was able to move it around and kind of get taped up a little bit and go out there in that second half, and it didn't feel good, but I was going to leave it all out there, and I'm glad it it was enough for the win.
Patrick, what's this mean to you in terms of Andy's success tonight, too? Your relationship with him?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. And I think everybody knew that, but these last two Super Bowls kind of cemented that. And to have someone that is such a great person who gets the best out of the players and to become men and players, you wanted to do that. You wanted to win those Super Bowls for them, and it was it's great that we did that. And like you said, man, we're not done. I'm gonna have him around here for a little bit longer at least.
You mentioned the extended halftime, how you guys kind of rallied and get your energy up. What do you recollect from the extended halftime? You probably were still pretty
happy. Yeah, no, I was proud because it. I mean, I talked a little bit, but it was everybody. It wasn't like I was the only person talking in that locker room. And we just challenged each other, man, to leave everything out there. And I don't want to say we played tight in the first half, but you didn't see that same joy that we play with. And I wanted guys to just know that everything we worked for is for this moment. You have to enjoy this moment. You can't let the moment overtake you. I thought the guys did that in the second half, and they fought to the very end. And that's all you can ask, is guys to leave everything they have on the football field.
10 years ago, you tweeted, man, how awesome would it be to win a Super Bowl and say, I'm going to do it with here you are going for a second time. How do you put all of this into perspective?
It's hard, man. It hasn't even sank in, I don't think, even yet. I mean, I appreciate it because of the failures. I mean, the failure of losing a Super Bowl and losing the AFC Championship game, it gives you a greater appreciation to be standing here as a champion. Luckily, I'm going to Disneyland now, so I have Disney World and Disneyland crossed off, and I'll have to make some more parks so I can go around everywhere and do a world tour.
Patrick, talked about you guys being counted out offseason. Does that make this win feel more special?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say we were counted out, but I mean, there was a lot more critics than there was the previous years I had been here. And I told him at the beginning of the year, I said, as long as Andy Reid's coaching, we're going to have success as an offense, and I trust in the leaders that we have on that defense. And so to go from a team that wasn't, I wouldn't even say majority picked to win the AFC West to win the Super Bowl, that speaks to the guys that we have in that locker room.
Right.
Yeah, I felt really good until I kind of aggravated it a little bit, but it was. I mean, you're in the Super Bowl. You can worry about getting it healthy in the off season. So I just kind of fought through, and we were able to win the game.
How do you think Jalen Hurts' performance? You know, you had an MVP performance, but you went in. They had won, probably would have been.
Yeah, I mean, if there was any doubters left, there shouldn't be now. I mean, the way he stepped up on this stage and ran through the ball, whatever it took for his team to win. I mean, that was a special performance that I don't want to get. I don't want it to get lost in the loss that they had. I mean, even whenever we got all the momentum in that game and we went up 8 points in the fourth quarter, for him to respond and move his team right down the football field and run it in himself for the 2-point conversion, it was a special performance by him, man. And I mean, you make sure you appreciate that when you look back on this game.
How would you describe it? How would you compare it to your
time? The first Super Bowl, I thought was, I mean, obviously I didn't win it the first year that I started, but I thought the first Super Bowl was just kind of like, oh, this is amazing. Like, we won the Super Bowl. Like, this is happy. Like, you're just like a little kid winning a prize at the fair. I mean, whereas this one, you've dealt with failure. You understand how hard it is to get back on this stage and to win this game. I mean, I played in the Super Bowl where I got blown out, where it was, I got all hyped up, and then you go out there and you don't do anything. And then I lose the AFC Championship game in the overtime. When I thought we had a chance to win the Super Bowl that year, and have a full brand new team and have to go through the strain of being better and better every single day, it gives you a greater appreciation for winning this game.
Patrick, do you feel like this is a greater achievement for the team than the last two football games?
I mean, it's a brand new team. I mean, every Super Bowl is something that you'll have for the rest of your life. I think there's only like 12 guys that were on that team that won that first Super Bowl. It might be a little bit more, but so have a brand new team with a lot of rookies playing that stepped up. I mean, we were down 10 points at halftime to probably the best team in the NFL all year long, and they're known for getting ahead of teams and kind of finishing the game off. And for those guys to step up and make those plays in that second half, man, it just speaks to the hard work they put in every single day. And luckily a lot of those guys are young, so we'll have them all, a lot of those guys back next year.
How do you think it helps you as a player to have to break in a new group of seniors?
Yeah, I had to become a better leader. And I've always vocally talked, but I had to take a next step in my leadership ability of how I showed guys how we work and how I couldn't let the little stuff slide because we have such great players around me that have done it for so long. And I had to teach the culture that we have here that I learned from Alex Smith and I learned from Derek Johnson. I had to teach those guys the culture of how we work and do things. And luckily for me, I have guys like Travis and Frank and Chris that helped me out with that as well. And I was proud of those guys, man, how they responded in this big game.
Patrick, the second time you come from behind in a Super Bowl. I know last Monday we were talking that you have ready to have dinner with Elway, with the Manning brothers, with Tyman, Stovak. What are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't even sunk in yet. I mean, to be down to a team like that and to come back and win the game, I wish I'd make it easier and not be down, but I feel like I play better when we are down. So I'll try to do whatever I can to learn how to not get in those situations and just start fast and finish faster. But, I mean, you'll look back on these games the rest of your life, and you'll watch these games when they're on TV and stuff like that, and I'm just glad I get to enjoy it with some of the best men on earth.
A painkilling shot at halftime? If not, what sort of treatment did you get at halftime on the ankle?
I did not get a painkilling shot, but we did some stuff to get it ready to go for that second half.
Andy made mentioned a lot of different guys who make plays. How about the one that Jarrett McKinnon made in the moment, not getting in the end zone?
Yeah, I mean, to have a vet like that who knows, I mean, all year long he proved how smart he was on that football field. He's like another quarterback back there, and he made it a little closer than I wanted him to. We talked about it in the huddle before the play, but we needed it because I ended up losing so many yards on when I was taking those knees. So it was a smart decision on him. And then that big of a moment, you want to run in and just score the touchdown. But we work on that stuff every single week to prepare ourselves for those moments. And I want to give a credit to Eric Bieniemy, because even though sometimes we get tired of listening to them talking about those moments, they always seem to happen in the biggest games. And he makes sure we go over the details every single week about them.
Hey, Patrick, what made a difference for you guys coming back from 10 down in the second half?
I thought guys they embraced the moment. I think that's the biggest thing is that first half, we were doing some good stuff, but I felt like guys were getting consumed by everything around us and not just going out there and playing and enjoying this game that we've played since we were little kids. Guys talked to the locker room, and we just said, let's leave it all out there. Let's leave it all out there for 30 minutes and see what happens at the end of the day. And I thought guys did that, and I think the biggest thing was the offensive line. I mean, the way they were able to protect me in that second half whenever we couldn't use those chips, we couldn't use that stuff to help them out against a great defensive line. That's the reason we won this game.
What was your mind on that play that 26-yard
No. They did a good job of covering the guys that I wanted to throw to. That was the biggest thing, and I got going upfield, and how the D-line rushed, it left the lane, and I thought once I got out, I don't know if you can see me running, I felt like someone was just right on my back the entire time. I haven't seen the play, but I'm like holding the ball up here somewhere. You just try to get in field goal range, man, and we have a great kicker, and you want to give him a chance to kick a field goal or score a touchdown, and we were able to get in that field goal range. We were smart at the end there, and he was able to kick the field goal to win the game.
We'll do a couple more. We'll go to Steve. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
I'd like to talk about Andy retiring. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was news to me, and I mean, obviously, Coach Reed, I mean, he has every right to retire. He's done so many great things for so long, but I could tell by the way how much he enjoys this that's not anywhere in the near future, and I know that we'll have conversations before that moment happens, and whenever that time is right for him, we'll embrace it, man, but I'm glad that he's sticking around because we feel like the job's not finished.
Last one right here.
What did you do?
Go ahead.
Right here. Second half.
Nope, right here.
Yeah, it's because I think, I mean, I don't want to talk about all coaches, but I mean, he's the best coach I've ever had about how he connects with players from everywhere. And I think you heard Frank Clark talk about it during the media week that we did, is no matter where you're from, he can connect with you, and you can tell he cares about you as a man as much as he does about a player. And so if there's something that's going on in your life, he's going to ask you about it. He's not going to worry about how you're practicing or hey, he needs you to be better here and here. He's going to ask you what's going on. He's going to get that info from you, and he's going to do whatever he can to help. And I think that's been the biggest thing. That's why every player that leaves Coach Reed talks so highly of him, because it's not about – I mean, obviously he wants to win football games and be great, but he cares about the men that step in that locker room and how he can make them better whenever they leave it.
Okay, thanks, Patrick.
There you go, Patrick Mahomes right there. The 10th meeting between the Chiefs and Eagles. Chiefs now have a 6-4 record against Philly. They've now won 4 straight games against the Eagles. You saw a lot of Bengals fans, well, we're 3-1 against Mahomes, whatever. Who cares? Chiefs have beaten the Eagles 4 straight times. You know, and they were able to get there, you know, get to the quarterback. But Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, just in rare air, and it's something we've had fun with each and every week with something – you know, we call it record time or whatever, you know, at the end of the Chiefs in the PR release at the end of the night, the different records the Chiefs have broken or Andy Reid or whatever, and it's absolutely insane. Travis Kelce having 3 receptions in this game when he got to 3, 18 consecutive postseason game with at least 3 receptions, extending his NFL record. Jerry Rice is 2nd with 16 consecutive games. So Travis Kelce ahead of Jerry Rice in that category, then yards and receptions, he's behind him. Mahomes becomes the 6th NFL player to win multiple Super Bowl MVP awards. Tom Brady has 5. Eli Manning, 2. Joe Montana has 3. Terry Bradshaw has 2. Bart Starr has 2. At 27 years old, 27 and 148 days old, he's the 2nd youngest player ever to win multiple Super Bowl MVPs, trailing only Tom Brady. He was 26 years old. 26 and 182 days old when he won his 2nd MVP. Just insane. A lot of people talking about that call on James Bradbury. The DPI didn't see it. He admitted it. He said it was holding. I tugged his jersey. I was hoping they would let it slide. So he's admitted he did something wrong. I give him credit for it. That's taking him ultimate accountability. Let's go back to the phone lines, 913-586-7610. Give us a call. We're all night. We're not stopping. It's full day tonight, full day tomorrow. You get a lot of Chiefs coverage coming your direction. Let's go to Sandra. What's up, Sandra?
Hey, it's Sandra.
Sandra. Yeah, Sandra. Yeah. My bad. Is this Sandra in Phoenix?
Yes.
Oh, what's
great
up,
Sandra? Great to hear your voice. I'm a little mellow right now. I've come in from the bonfire where I lit up all the receipts of all the bad things everybody said all season.
That's a lot of receipts to burn.
Well, that's why it took me so long to call in, you know.
That's a lot. That'll keep you warm for a long time, all the receipts from haters from the Chiefs this year.
Yeah, I lit it up with a match that was engraved, Burrowhead
Burrowhead your ass.
Oh, come on. I wanted to say it.
I thought you were going dancing around it because you didn't want to say it because I'd like hang up on you or block you out.
Yes.
It,
yes.
Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it, Sandra. Burrowhead my ass. Go ahead.
Burrowhead my ass.
There you go. Sounded great.
Okay. But 2 things. I know, like, your draft king dweeb. I don't mean the betting thing. I just meant you love the draft.
Did you call me a dweeb, Sandra?
Did I say dweeb? No, I didn't say dweeb.
I thought you said draft dweeb.
Draft king. You're the draft king.
I thought you said dweeb. Either one, I'll go with either one of them.
Okay, there you go. I might have said dweeb.
I think you did, actually.
Dancing around a fire. Anyway, but, you know, drafts for me, eh. But this year, I was really taken in, absorbed, excited, thought, wow, what a class. And then last AFC championship game and this game, the rookies, I know they don't call themselves that anymore, but man, they're a huge chapter of the last few weeks of the regular season and in the postseason. And like Pops Pacheco after the game, if you know about what's happened to him in his short life and what's been going on, I could cry. And then the other thing in the off season for me, I was just anxiously every day checking the wire. When are we going to sign McKinnon again? Why didn't we sign McKinnon again? What is the problem? And then we finally did. And that was a huge sigh of relief for me. And I am I am, you know, not right all the time. I admit it, but man, I was right about him getting him back. I know I'm not the only person who thought that. So burn
well,
my ass.
He's the unsung hero of this team. But I've been saying it all season long on this postgame show. That, well, you know, this guy's blocking ability, what he's doing. I mean, this guy, it's unsung what he's done for the Chiefs. And, you know, not get a lot of credit, like Mike Dana, maybe, you know, this year on defense.
Yes.
And speaking of draft,
yes.
Sandra, you know, you go back 3 years ago, that's where they got Mecole Hardman, Thornhill, and Colin Saunders.
Yes.
Was in that one. The year 2020, where they got Willie Gay, L'Jarius Sneed, Michael Dana, those are all contributors. And then 2 years ago, when they get Trey Smith, starter, Noah Gray back up to Kelsey, Creed Humphrey, Nick Bolton, don't need to tell you how good those guys are. And then this year, when you saw McDuffie, Karloftis, Sky Moore, Brian Cook, Leo Chenal, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco, those guys were
Chenal
all contributors to this
tonight.
Team.
Yes. And Chenal got a sack tonight.
Out of the 10 draft picks they had this year, Sandra, 8 of them were contributors to this team winning a title.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You go be a draft weed king, think, because you are prescient and you are right. And all hail you and kingdom. I'm out here in Glendale with my signs waving around and my fire burning to embers. I'm so proud of all of our boys.
Well, Sandra, it's always good hearing from you, whether it's Royals, whether it's Chiefs. Keep burning those receipts in the Phoenix area, because there was a lot of receipts this year, Jed, and I think they heard them all. And I think the biggest motivator for the Chiefs this year, I think the award should go to the Cincinnati mayor. What do you think, Jed? Is he deserving of the Shouldn't Talk Award?
I think at this point we could probably let him slide, seeing as how the Chiefs are Super Bowl champion. But I don't know. I try and be less petty than you, Bink.
I mean, I'm very petty when it comes to that. But, I mean, the Chiefs, I mean, the mayor fired them up. I mean, the only reason they're in the Super Bowl because of the mayor firing them up. I mean, you know, maybe he should get some kind of maybe barbecue sent to him because he's the one that inspired the Chiefs to beat the Bengals that got him here. I mean, this is Mahomes after the game against the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, you got Burrowhead. You said, I mean, they beat us last time. They were talking about we got to play them. There was a lot of stuff. I mean, the mayor came at me, man. I mean, I understand he's the mayor of Cincinnati, so he has to think about something. But, I mean, it's something that you just got to play the football game and then let your play do the talking.
I mean, the mayor, he should be in Pete's book. Pete's writing a story about Dynasty beginning.
I appreciate you. How about this beautiful trophy? Huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
I mean, that's all part of the story of the 2022 Kansas City Chiefs, Jen. Was the fine mayor of, he's not fine, but the mayor of Cincinnati. He's the king of receipts. I mean, that is the biggest receipt. I know that Bart Scott and all these clowns and national media and stuff talking about the Chiefs or whatever. That stuff's one thing. But he's King Jabroni. Well, the King Jabroni did something. I mean, go with me here, Jed. The mayor of Cincinnati is this year's King Jabroni.
I'm with you. I mean, they beat the Bengals by 3 points.
But it's funny when the quarterback mentions it, Travis Kelce mentions it, Andy Reid alluded to it. That's three Hall of Famers talking about this Jabroni.
And again, I know
the people of Cincinnati probably hate that mayor. He'll probably not get elected ever again.
Probably not, but that's, again, a political issue, probably more so than anything. But I guess
I think it comes down to football a lot of times, Jed. In this town,
political insider Jay Binkley.
In this town, if you said something and you were mayor and you said something to piss off another town and a team beat the Chiefs, I don't know if you'd be reelected.
But they won by 3 points. I mean, it's not like it took a last-second field goal for the Chiefs to beat the Bengals. It took a last-second field goal for them to be Super Bowl champions. Again, very excited. It's great for Kansas City. But the narrative that's being painted that the Chiefs just crushed anyone in their path, I think, is a little foolhardy on everybody's part.
You know the one good thing, Jed, is we didn't hear this tonight.
There's no foul on the play for blocking the back. Timeout.
I am happy. I am happy that I have received no phone calls about Carl Cheffers, and I haven't been admonished on the text line for trying to say that a loser's lament is blaming an official.
Do you think they'll be talking about him in Philly on the postgame show tonight?
I'm sure that they are, and I would say the exact same thing that I said to everyone. I think that if you're complaining about the refs, I mean, look at the scoreboard. If you really think that you're the better team, refs don't ever cost you a game, and you know that just as well as I do, Jay.
Do you think people in this town, if next year they said we're going to have Carl Sheffers put on the turn on the Plaza lights? Like, if I would have said this to you like 3 weeks ago, you'd say, no way in hell. He'll be egged. He'll be stoned. Flipping him off and everything. It's not so unreasonable to think now they'd let him, is it?
I still think that people would kind of get their panties in a bunch about it. You would play the audio again of his voice cracking, and everybody would say, oh, well, they made him cry. He has a vendetta against the Chiefs. Well, clearly it played out tonight. Oh, wait, it didn't. He's an official. He's paid a job, and he did his job.
You know who I'd let flip on the Plaza lights next year?
Patrick Mahomes?
No, Chad Henne. He retired tonight.
I mean, go blue. There were a lot of Michigan representatives on this team.
Michigan's had a pretty good time in the NFL. Tom Brady did okay.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare bring up Tom Brady.
Who's a better Michigan quarterback in the NFL? Jim Harbaugh, Chad Henne, or Tom Brady?
So if I were to actually rank them legitimately, Tom Brady's obviously the best, but I don't like Tom Brady because where are my four national championships? Well,
who's your likability meter, Henne, Harbaugh, or Tom Brady?
So I would go Harbaugh, but mainly because he's the coach at Michigan, and then I would go Henne, and then a distant third, I would go Tom Brady. Couldn't beat out Drew Henson? What the hell's that?
But non-quarterback, you got Frank Clark.
Frank Clark's my dog.
He's been going, you know.
Mike Dana?
He's been saying go blue all the time. Yeah, Dana.
Absolutely.
Who was a Chippewa before he went to Michigan.
I know, but he actually made his bones at Michigan.
Yeah, I don't know. He was the, like, two-time.
Just let me have my moment.
They have, like, an award for the best Chippewa at Central Michigan.
Let me have my moment.
He won the award, yeah. It's your moment, Jed. Mike Dana. But just another song. I mean, 8 of the 10 guys they drafted this year made a contribution. Nazi Johnson was actually on the roster. Darian Kennard was inactive most of the time, but it's 10 players. I mean, it's unbelievable what Brett Veach has done in the draft. And you know what? He's not going to sniff GM of the year. He's not even going to sniff it, which you really need to bring in, like, should people be voting for certain things or not when Brett Veach is not even going to be considered for this award? Because it's comical. We're coming right back at you, 913-586-7610. Let's talk about this. Chiefs of Dynasty or not? What's your opinion on that? Chris Inocero has got you covered from 3 to 6. He'll be sitting in with me here in the 2 o'clock hour. Anyway, give us a ring. Welcome back. We're just sitting here talking about the world champions once again. Second time in 4 years. Jay Binkley, Jed Marshall with you. And Chris Inocero is going to carry you all the way till, I have been saying 6 a.m., but we all know Fesco starts at 5:58. I can't hear Chris's mic there. Here we go. We got to hear your dulcet tones.
I don't think I have dulcet tones. I think that's a stretch.
Well, we've had a lot of fired up people tonight.
Yeah, I'm sure. I was here 3 years ago, last time they won the Super Bowl, and it was just hype on the text line, on the phone line. Yeah, so I believe me, I expect people to continue to call in. Probably going to trickle down compared to what it was before.
You've been here with us during the Royals run and the Royals World Series and all this.
When they won the World Series, I was here all night. I was producing all night.
We used to not win anything.
Yeah, I know. We're used to it now, so we expect the all-nighters.
Yeah, we get the draft. They get the World Cup coming. I mean, Kansas City, man. It's now.
Yeah, we do. The draft 2 months away, 2.5 months away. And then, World Cup coming up here in 3 years. A little bit, three and a half years.
We got the new airport opening up at the end of the month.
Yeah, the new terminal there. Yeah. No, I'm. There's a lot happening here over the next few years.
Kansas City got a groove back, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was the funny thing about
this town is underrated, too. This, like, I know. This football team is this town's underrated.
I know. It's so funny about this whole situation because, like, I think after the first Super Bowl, we're like, oh, you know, they'll just keep rolling along. And then they lose the next one. And then last year they don't get to it. So I think for a lot of fans, it feels a little bit more special. Not quite as special as the first one because it's the first one you had in 50 years. But this one, I think there's something special about it that's different from the other one because it's like, and you heard this from a lot of Chiefs players after the game, there's validation now. And now it's like, okay, 2019 wasn't a fluke. Patrick Mahomes isn't Aaron Rodgers now. You know, he's not going to do that. Now it's like, okay, he's legitimately one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen play, and he's got the accomplishments to back up the highlights that we've seen throughout his career. So I think this is kind of, and it's still sinking in for me, but I think it kind of feels like that. Whereas like it's validating what we've seen.
And here's the thing about it. This team has fun. Even when they did their snow globe play like they did.
That was funny.
But this team, and why do they do that stuff? Because Andy Reid lets them do it. And Bieniemy does. And they go to Eric Bieniemy at the end of practice, Kelsey and Mahomes, whatever. Right. When Tyreek Hill was here, he was doing the same thing. And they get creative because the players come up with it, but they have fun doing it because they're creating this. And it makes them have ownership within the group. I always liken it to, like, if you just give your kid money, they're not going to appreciate it. But if they go earn the money, right, and, like, go mow the lawn and get paid, they respect the money more, right? It's like this team. And think about the free agents that see the Chiefs. And even these draft picks, when they get drafted, they get excited because they're going to play with Pat Mahomes. And they get excited about that. Or they're going to play for Big Red or with Travis Kelce and all these. But it's easy. It's a sell now. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like Alabama or Georgia on the recruiting trail. Like, they don't really have to sell their school or their academic programs. It's just, hey, do you want to go play for Kirby Smart or Nick Saban?
Want to get drafted in the first round? Come play for us.
Like, you don't have to recruit. They want to come to you. And that's the one good thing about the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to play something for you, Chris. This is after Brett Veach won that Super Bowl in Miami. That first of many. And again, sometimes we take things, I think, for granted. When it comes to sports, like, are you ever going to get back? Remember Dan Marino got the Super Bowl early in the second year?
Everyone thought he was just going to keep going.
He didn't get back.
He never got back.
The Rams, they're in the back of a milk carton after winning the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, they were terrible last year.
The Buccaneers went downhill after winning theirs. Yep. They didn't carry through. The Patriots did. Mm-hmm. They carried that mantle going forward. But this is what Brett Veach had to say after that winning that Super Bowl against the Niners.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just in general in this league, I mean, it's I joke with the guys all the time. I always thought, like, if you become a GM and won a Super Bowl, it's like icing on the cake and, you know, stress-free life. And it's the complete opposite. You know, every year you feel like it's not good enough. So I think just in general, you know, working in this profession and you know, being in this league, everyone literally forgets what you did the year before. And it's every year it's got to be something brand new and something different. And it motivates us you know, we're certainly – fortunate that we have guys that are wired to come in and compete every day, and you know, talking to Pat every day and seeing the way he's working with those guys out there is certainly another motivating factor. I mean, but the pressures and the expectations are there, whether you won a Super Bowl the year before or whether you stink. I mean, there's still pressure to win, so I think we feel it all the time.
And that was music to the ears when he said that it stood out to me when he said it then. It stands out to me now because, you know, he's asked, yeah, you think you win a Super Bowl title as a general manager, it's icing on the cake, right? The pelt on the way, I'm a world champion.
Yeah.
But do you want another one? And they do. Is Andy Reid still hungry for another one? 100% he is. Does Patrick Mahomes, is he going to get pissed if he never goes? I bet the guy goes to the playoffs every single year of his play career.
If he missed the playoffs.
But if he's gone to the title game or the Super Bowl every year. I mean, this is stuff he's used to. Like, Super Bowl opening night, this old hat to him when he goes next time. But that drive to win another one. Like, Tom Brady had that drive to win another. Peyton Manning had that drive every year to go win another. Joe Montana had that drive. One wasn't enough. Two wasn't enough. Three wasn't enough. Like, Tom Brady, none was enough. Seven is not even enough for him, I'm sure.
It came back.
He's still lamenting by those twice. Three losses.
It came back twice after winning seven and said, I'm going to try again to win another
and
one.
And I think we forget how fortunate the Patriots, I mean, even Tom's rings. So you can talk about the officiating or call here and there. The Patriots had some real, real barn burners in those Super Bowls. Matter of fact, they probably shouldn't have even won that first Super Bowl because that was the Gannon game in New England. Remember the catch?
Yes, the tuck rule game. And then their first three championships, they were all decided by 3 points.
Yeah.
They were all decided by 3 points.
But and it's a fine line. Look when Eli Manning beat that undefeated Patriots team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The catch, the David Tyree catch.
Yeah, I mean, and then 4 years later, you had the catch by Manningham as well.
It just shows you the fine line between winning and losing.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, I know that there were people trying to discredit the Chiefs before the Super Bowl by saying, oh, if not for Wasp, They don't have a championship.
But that's the way football is.
Yeah,
it that's comes how down the game one is. Or two with, Dick Vermeil, you say football comes down to one or two plays. That's 100% true.
Yeah, without the catch, are the 49ers the dynasty that they were with the catch? Probably not. Like, things could have changed drastically
if Mahomes isn't drafted
win that
here.
Super Bowl. If he's not drafted here.
If he ends up going to Buffalo?
Changes everything.
Like, Buffalo keeps that pick?
Yeah, or
they can tell themselves all the time that they're fine because they got Josh Allen now, but deep down they know they're not.
Or, like, I know that, like, the Saints said that they told Mahomes they would draft him at 12. What happens if the Saints take him at 12? Well, all of a sudden, history's different now. All of a sudden, Drew Brees is replaced. He's still in New Orleans, and he's replaced Drew Brees with Patrick Mahomes, and all of a sudden, we'd be hating the Saints right now. So, like, I hate when people, like, try to discredit things like that, because it's like, in football, that's the sport where it's a lot of times one play changes history. Yeah. So I think you got to give the Chiefs a lot of credit for what they did. And, like, it goes back to the whole, like, this was the validation title.
Oh, it was definitely putting that stamp on it. Because this game, going in this game, all the things you think about, like, hey, Mahomes could just win that second title.
Yeah.
If Andy Reid wins the second Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, then the haters can't be as hateful towards it. You know, like, well, he's lost 2-1-1. Can't say that anymore. He's won 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
It's a big difference. It's a big difference where he sits there now. 913-586-7610 is the phone number. Don't forget, Chris has you going all the way till 6 a.m. Let's go to
558. Get her
558,
right.
558, my bad. Let's go out to, speaking of just growing areas, DeSoto, Kansas. Let's go talk to Dave. They're getting a new plant out there, and it's going to be
It's booming over there. It's starting to boom over there.
What's up, Dave?
What's up, man? Hey, I don't think we're a dynasty just yet. We need to chop all this dynasty talk off. We had two miracle come from behind wins in the Super Bowl. There's been 4 wins all time.
Dave, did you not hear us talk about the Super Bowls come down to 1 or 2 plays? Look at that Rams-Bengals game last year. That came down.
You guys can't argue with facts. You Chiefs propagandists can't argue with facts.
Here's the thing. You're an idiot, and you've called under different names before, and you're not fooling us this time either. You have been hateful towards the Chiefs the whole year. I'll call you out. You downplay Mahomes every single week. You downplay the Chiefs. You're not even wasting. So it's a waste of time. Talking about this. This is Debbie. You know what? Here's the deal, Dave. That's not his real name, I'm sure, because he's gone by.
Is it Steve?
I think so.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have 2 Super Bowls the last 4 years. Doesn't matter how they got to it. History books are going to say 2-time Mahomes, 2-time MVP, 2-time Super Bowl champion. Can't erase history. This is it. Deal with it.
If they win the Super Bowl next year, he'll just make up some other excuses to why they're not a dynasty. Yeah.
Well, and even openly
a propaganda artist.
Well, for sure. And I even openly admit that I'm a contrarian generally, but if I'm willing to say that the Chiefs are a dynasty, they damn well are a dynasty.
I think it's debatable with 2 titles, but I think it's like you could go either way on that. It depends on your own personal
view
of what a dynasty is.
You gotta keep it up. Well, here's the thing. Yeah. Well, let's say they go next year and they lose in the divisional round. Okay. And then the next year they lose in the AFC title game. Okay.
Yeah.
But then in 3 years they make the Super Bowl again. All of a sudden you're just going,
well, that's still part of the dynasty. Yeah. That still counts as part of it.
Patriots had that lull too. They had that lull too between the championships.
I mean, the 49ers did too. So did the Steelers back in the 70s. Like, very few teams are just winning a bunch of consecutive titles or winning like 3 and 4 years. You don't see that often. I mean, the Steelers won 2 in 74, 75, and they didn't win another Super Bowl again until 78 and 79.
Yeah, I don't know if Dave called from Philly or whatever. I mean, he might have been somebody calling from Philly or Cincinnati Bengals fan.
Well, I mean, if they're fans of those teams, they're probably sad right now. So
you should probably call their post-game show because those teams have something to worry about.
And yeah. Chris, I think
they're chokers.
I think you actually make a great point about what the definition of dynasty is. It's all in the eye of the beholder, of course. But, I mean, it's a little bit like Rob and Dusty were talking about this earlier today on the pregame coverage. It's a little bit of a moving goalpost. It's like the LeBron versus Jordan debate to a certain extent when it comes to trying to define a dynasty and what each person wants to say it is.
Yeah, I mean, some people say it's 2, some people think it's 3 or 4 or whatever. So it's like, to me, it's like, I don't think it's worth arguing over right now. Like, I think if the Chiefs get to 3, I think it's hard to argue against them being a dynasty. I think right now you can still argue against it. It just depends on your own personal preference. But at the same time, like once they get to 3, Ain't no more arguing at that point, especially if they do it next year.
And honestly, I don't think they care because they got two rings on their finger. And
I think they do kind of care because they were talking about it after. And they were clearly motivated by the fact that a lot of people doubted them this year.
100%. Here's Kelsey after the game talking about, is this a dynasty?
It solidifies your greatness. You didn't get lucky once. It wasn't just beginner's luck or however you guys want to call it. You know, this is we took it. 2 out of 4. There you go.
Do you consider this a dynasty?
You can call it a dynasty. You can call it whatever you want. All I know is that we're coming back next year with our heart and the right mindset on trying to get another one. I can tell you that right now.
See, that's the right attitude. By the way, the Chiefs, if you want to go look at this game, it's 14-7 right now because they're replaying the game. Juju Smith-Schuster had pass interference on him they didn't call. So if you want to talk about the guy to break then, the Chiefs had the punt in this situation. Not only that, they ran into Tommy Townsend. He should have taken the fall.
He got to do a better act.
He got to
milk that better.
He should have taken the fall there. But the Chiefs had the punt. It was pass interference on Juju. They didn't call. And who knows what would have happened at the end of the game. Chiefs might have probably still would have won that game, even if they don't call that. So, I mean, you know.
I'm generally not the person that likes to complain about the officials. I thought they did great today. I really did. I thought they did a great job because, like, we didn't talk about them besides the catch situation and besides that the holding call at the end of the game. Like, to be honest, we didn't have a whole lot of bad penalties in this game. The biggest controversy was obviously the defensive holding call on Bradbury, which he admitted he was holding. So that should squash any and all conversation on that.
Here's James Bradbury, who got that DPI after the game.
Like, just pulling on it enough for that call.
I mean, that's not up for my judgment. You know, I was hoping he would let it go, but of course, you know, he's a ref. Big game, and it was a hold, so they called it.
There you go.
He's in it. I was hoping he was going to let it go.
This is not NFL Network looking back at it. This isn't us talking about it. That's the guy who did it saying that.
Yeah, he said, I did it. Yeah, I did it. So,
which, like, I give him a lot of credit. That's accountability.
Yeah. And look, I mean, let's be honest here. Like, that's the kind of holding that happens on most times that players do run their routes, especially those kind of routes where they are changing direction very quickly like that and turning their bodies around. That happens all the time.
But I hope people remember this in the first half. It's
right. They're not going to remember.
The Chiefs had the punt.
They're not going to remember.
Call it on Juju and they should.
We're always going to remember the call at the end of the game, not the one that happened in the second quarter. Like,
in all fairness, they should remember that.
It could have absolutely changed the game had they called that there. You're 100% right on that. But they're not going to, because it's always end of the game that people feel matters more. But kudos to Bradbury for owning up to it and say, yeah, I did it. I don't like when people complain.
9 total penalties in this game.
Yeah, it's like 9 total penalties. It was well officiated because we didn't hear the referees other than whenever they were, like, the biggest controversy was the catch. What was a catch in this game? That was the biggest controversy. If that's your biggest controversy and not all the terrible calls that we've seen throughout this season, I'd say you did a good job there. Kudos to Carl Cheffers for not being a distraction this week.
But that ball would have given the Chiefs a first down on that play for Juju, and who knows what happens.
Who knows what would have happened?
It was 14-7 there. Who knows what happens there with the Kansas City Chiefs? And also, Butker missed the field goal. They went doink off the upright.
That irked me.
That made a difference in this game.
That decision by Andy irked me.
Obviously, it didn't make a difference in the finality of this game, but it did make somewhat of a difference.
Yeah, that irked me. That him deciding, like, especially because you watched the other coach, Nick Sirianni, and he just coached that first half immaculately.
I love the way he did. He was aggressive.
Amazing. Just aggressive.
The Eagles are one of the top teams going forward on fourth down. I mean, he coached how you got to beat the Chiefs.
It reminded me of how Sean McDermott coached the Chiefs when the Bills came into Arrowhead.
They can't be stopped.
Right. Yeah, like, seriously, like, I just the same way I gave Sean McDermott credit for how he coached against the Chiefs when the Bills came into Arrowhead earlier this season. And he was just so aggressive. And he's like, we got to take every opportunity. And the Chiefs did a good job of stopping them on fourth down a few times. But he still gave his team opportunities because he was not going to just willingly give the ball away to Patrick Mahomes. And I got to give Sirianni a lot of credit for how he coached in that first half, because he was not going to do that same thing. Second half was a different story because Chiefs offense just caught fire, and there's nothing you can do about that if you don't have a quarterback as good as Patrick Mahomes. But that first half was as good a game as you could coach if you're Sirianni. So I got to give him a lot of credit for that.
But whatever credit you give, you got to take it away in the second half because they did not have any answers for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Nothing at all.
Scored every time they hit the ball.
I mean, but like, what was your answer going to be, though, against the Chiefs?
Well, I mean,
like, what were you going to do? You couldn't generate a pass rush.
Here's the one thing about it. Mahomes now 5-0 this season against top 10 passing defenses.
Yeah, which we always say, defense doesn't matter.
I had people text me saying, or the text line, why are the Chiefs running? Why are the Chiefs running? Well, this was one Achilles heel of the Eagles. They were 17th, so bottom half the NFL and stopping the run. Number one against the pass. So, obviously, there's opportunities to run the football. The Chiefs took care of those opportunities. 158 yards, thanks to, in large part, to Isaiah Pacheco and that 4.37 speed.
He's so good, man.
I'm waiting for him to just bust out because he's got that – I mean, he's got 4.37 speed. That is game-changing type. That is Marquez Valdes-Scantling speed that I thought we'd see a little more of this year.
Next year, Pacheco has a good chance to break out. Good chance to break out.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Eagles were third in the NFL in points per game given up, eighth in the league in points per game given up. Total defense, they were number two. Pass defense, they were number one. Number one in sacks was 70. This was a legit defense, the Chiefs beat. And you got to think about it. They put 38 on the Eagles. I get it. Nick Bolton scored one of those touchdowns, so still 31
yeah,
on the Eagles. Remember when they put 41 on Tampa in Tampa, and that was a top five scoring defense when they did it. The 49ers, they put 44 points on, was the number one defense.
Yeah, number one defense in the NFL this year.
Number one scoring defense. Even at that time, they finished the same way then. And I know they had some quarterback issues and whatever, but they won every game after that Chiefs game. And these defenders still played. And they were still number one in the NFL, and the Chiefs put 44 on them in their place.
Yeah, I've been saying it all year long, especially after that game. The Chiefs don't care how good your defense is. They do not care. They have played good defenses for years now. Remember the Buffalo Bills in the divisional round last year? Number one defense in the NFL. The Chiefs scored 42 on them. The Chiefs do not care how good your defense is. If you want to beat the Chiefs, you have to be able to keep up with them on offense. Your quarterback has to be able to keep up with them. And you got to hope that their offensive line's terrible like they were in that Super Bowl 2 years ago.
You got to keep up with Justin Watson, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, I know, man. It's just like there's so many things they have to defend. It's just incredibly hard.
913-586-7610 is the phone number. Chris Nocero sitting in with me. We get you covered all night long on 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show. Jay Binkley, Jed Marshall, producing operation. Kristen Ocero has got you covered until 5:58 in the morning. Sitting in here with me here talking Kansas City Chiefs, world champion Kansas City Chiefs. 913-586-7610 is the phone number. Somebody's not sleeping tonight. Let's talk to Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, brother?
What's up with you?
Oh, just on cloud nine, man. It just feels absolutely unreal. I just want to say, I haven't really heard anybody say anything about this, but man, this one needs to be for Lenny. Lynn Dawson, man. It just.
That's right.
Holy smokes.
100%. So. Yeah. Lenny the Cool. But, yeah, just Chiefs legends. This is the year of the Chiefs. This is their fifth Super Bowl. They were in the first one. You know, I mean, they get that. They're just a model franchise of the NFL. They now move into rare air with that third Super Bowl championship. You know, I mean, you start getting to that point in line where you have three wins. And some teams, you know, like the Bills, the Vikings, the Bengals, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Cardinals, the Titans, the Chargers, they don't have a championship. Like, they don't have one. And we here do. And you even think of the rare air they're in with three Super Bowl wins now. They joined Denver and Washington, Oakland, the Giants. Giants have four, so they have one more to get the Giants. But they're now tied with the Raiders, who are seen as a lifetime – wonderful franchise. They've won 3 out of 5. Well, Chiefs are now 3 out of 5.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. You know, the past 10 years, we've just been absolutely spoiled as fans. It's, you know, going 2-14 year in and year out, you know, from the Dick Vermeil era through
Todd Haley and heard him Edwards. I mean, we're spoiled, man. We absolutely spoiled. So
we're just, you know what, Chris, getting what's due to us, because those great teams that Marty had, yeah, 98 team is ridiculous. The good Chiefs teams that probably could have been world champions. For some reason, they get to the postseason and couldn't do it. But Dick Vermeulen had a great Chiefs team offensively.
You know, yeah, in the 03, yeah. I was listening. I was driving over to my my parents' place. That's where I watched the game at. And Rich Gannon was on the pregame for the Chiefs radio network. And, like, you know, he was talking about, like, hey, man, like, if they hadn't replaced me, Elvis Gerbach, we probably would have won the Super Bowl that year.
And I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree with him too. And it's just like, it's just amazing, like, how close we could have gotten to being in this position now. Maybe not exactly, but, like, you know, winning a championship. But it just, maybe one coaching decision, one mistake in a game completely just changes everything. And it's just crazy how now all of those things that worked against us 20 years ago, 10 years ago, now we're working in our favor.
Well, you just don't take it for granted. Like the Baltimore Ravens, the 2000 Baltimore Ravens won the title in 2001's.
Right.
That just all-time defense. In my opinion, best defense to ever be on the football field.
But they
didn't
parlay.
They didn't get back to the Super Bowl until 2013.
12.
You know, 12th season. The Super Bowl's in 13.
Yeah, February 13.
But still,
yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, 13 years difference. I mean, going repeatedly like the Chiefs have done, and it's Dusty had put all our predictions for the game out at 6:10, and I remember somebody on Twitter goes, bunch of homers or something like that. Well, everybody was right. Here's the thing about the Chiefs. It sounds homeristic if you're picking the Chiefs to win.
Yeah. Well, if you're in Kansas City, you pick the Chiefs to win.
But
yeah.
All they do is win.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. Your chances of the Chiefs winning are far greater than them losing.
I did not. Like, if you would have said a bunch of Philadelphia hosts picked the Eagles to win, I'm like, all right. Well, fine. That's
you
cool.
You watch that team day in and day out.
Yeah, you probably feel like
that's a damn good team.
Yeah, and they were a great team. They played great today. Patrick Mahomes was just better.
I still think the Bengals are better than they are, though.
I don't think so.
I do.
I think if the Bengals would have won 2 weeks ago and played this Eagles team, they would have got smacked.
I don't agree with that.
I think they would have got smacked. The Bengals would have beat this Eagles team. They were, like, that offensive line against
as
this
physical
pass
as
rush.
As plays that with his wide receivers.
Oh, man,
and
that would have, that would not have been. I don't think that would have been a close game. I think the Bengals would have got smacked.
I guess we can just go.
It would have been fun to watch.
Play it
but
on
it's good
now,
thing,
the
it's a good thing it didn't happen. It's a good thing we will never know the answer to that game because they're not going to play each other. But I think the Bengals would have got smacked. Like, seriously, and I 2 weeks ago, I would have said the opposite. I would have said the Bengals will beat the Eagles if they play. No. The Bengals would have got smacked because this team that showed up today.
See, here's the thing.
Oh,
though.
My God.
That Eagles
dude,
defense,
they're good.
The Eagles defense got exposed again.
They got exposed against a really good offensive line.
You know what? They're 9-1 this year against winning teams.
Right.
But when you play Davis Mills and Josh Jacobs and Taylor Heineke and Matt Ryan and Kenny Pickett and all these quarterbacks.
Yeah. Daniel Jones twice.
You
three
saw a
times,
real quarterback
actually.
Here, and they would have seen a real quarterback in Joe
Burrow. But, like, it's different, though, because, like, you saw what happened when the Chiefs played that Bengals team 2 weeks ago. They just completely mauled Joe Burrow.
They're probably right on par with them.
The
Chiefs
mauled Joe Burrow.
The Eagles had an outstanding year.
The Eagles had more depth in their pass rush. They would have destroyed.
Not only that, they came out of the best division of football.
Exactly. They would have hurt. Joe Burrow would have gotten hit the whole game. So I don't think that would have been I don't think that would have been a good game for the Bengals. Like, that's a bad matchup. If they play, like, maybe the 49ers, like, I'd agree with you. But, like, this Eagles team with that pass rush, like, I know they didn't look that great tonight because the Chiefs have a great offensive line. The Bengals do not. Their offensive line is so bad. Like, I watched that game back the day after. Oh, my God, that offensive line was awful.
And I don't think that was a talking point much this week. There was a lot of talk about the Eagles' pass rush and what they're going to do to the Chiefs.
Right.
And you saw Orlando Brown put it on a blanket T-shirt. They gave him no sacks.
Yeah.
He was peacocking after that one.
Oh, yeah, he knows.
But here's the thing. I mean, if you want to really get down the nuts and bolts of it, Philadelphia had 70 sacks. Chiefs had 55. It's a 15-sack difference.
Yeah.
However, the Eagles' offensive line gave up 18 more sacks than the Chiefs' offensive line deal. That's a net positive of 3 for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right,
But that wasn't talked about. What's the Eagles' pass rush going to do to Mahomes and all that? Well, what about the fact the Chiefs were the only team to get a sack in this game. It was they got two sacks in this game. Eagles got none.
That kind of exposes the whole issue with, like, national coverage of teams like the Chiefs. I don't think people, like, I think when people look at the Chiefs, they just think Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones and that's it. They don't understand that there's a lot more that goes into the Chiefs' success. That Patrick Mahomes throwing the football down the field, scrambling on clutch plays, Travis Kelce catching and running for 20 yards. Like, they don't understand that part. There's a lot more moving parts than just Patrick Mahomes sitting in the pocket and slinging it down the field. The offensive line has been so important for this team's success. And seriously, like, it was probably, if I remember saying before the game, it was like, as long as Patrick Mahomes doesn't get hit the entire game, as long as he's not getting knocked around, the offense will be fine. It's just a matter of, can the defense get enough stops? Defense got enough stops. The offense, that offensive line deserves so much credit for how they played tonight, because they did not allow Mahomes to get hit in the pocket. And that is how you give him the best opportunity to destroy any defense in this league.
I don't think people realize how tough it is to have that target on your back.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you got everybody gunning for you, not only free agency, we've talked about the AFC West and all the additions were made, teams drafting against you, teams trying to find any way to beat you, and for Andy Reid basically to go back to the lab and be enemy and create this Chiefs offense without Tyreek Hill. And they said, from Mahomes said it, Reid said it, they said it in training camp, we're going to be a different team, don't take us in fantasy. Football, one 1,000-yard receiver, no 1,000-yard running backs. They had 12 guys with over 100 yards of offense and two touchdowns. That's an NFL record. I mean, that is spreading the ball around. And it's always somebody else stepping up. Like, MVS stepped up a ton of the Bengals game. Didn't in this game. It was Juju stepping up in this game. Just different guys stepping up at different moments. And you really don't know who to focus on besides Travis Kelce. And even when you do, he still gets his yards, which is incredible. That's what makes Travis Kelce's lore even better. Because he's like, seriously, if you're going to play the Chiefs, who's the one guy you want to stop? I mean, this is not rocket science. You got to stop Kelce. Travis Kelce, the only 1,000-yard receiver on this team. But they don't do it.
Because they can't.
That makes it crazier.
They can't. That was the funny, like, the first half, I remember watching it just be like, are they going to cover Travis Kelce?
Six for 81 and a touch.
Are they going to cover him in the first half? Because, like, literally, like, I think it was his longest reception. He was uncovered over the middle of the field. And I'm like, how do you not see 87? He's the tallest guy that's out there running routes. How do you not see him? Why would you focus on any other pass catcher besides Travis Kelce? Like, just didn't make any sense. Kelce was eaten early in that first half, and it was just so confusing to me. Like, I don't know what the defensive game plan was in that first half, but, like, if not for the offensive success that the Eagles would have had, the Chiefs probably would have had, like, a two-score lead going into halftime, get the ball back, and then just keep scoring in the second half. Like, literally, their offense kept them in that game and gave them the lead that they had, because their defense wasn't doing them any favors. I don't know what their defense, and, like, their defensive coordinator is, like, one of the lead candidates to get the Cardinals job. And he had an awful game.
That's another thing. You're going to have to eventually pay Jalen Hurts, not this year, but you're eventually going to
next
pay
year.
Him.
Next year. Third year?
You can still give him something that bumped up now.
They're going to pay him this offseason.
Now you're losing coordinators and coaches. The Chiefs have not had to deal with that problem. I mean,
they're going
to
lose both their coordinators
probably.
Peterson
and stuff like that, but good, you still have Andy Reid calling the plays, which makes the biggest difference. Do you remember that game back in 2015? The divisional round, but after they beat the Texans, they finally, you know, got the playoff win.
Yeah, and then they played the Patriots the next week.
They went and played the Patriots the following week, and that was literally the only weapon they had was Kelce.
Only.
And Belichick found a way to limit him. That was the game. You know, okay, we got to stop Kelce. That was public enemy number one, and they were able to do it.
Yeah, and like, this is the reason why the Chiefs should absolutely strive to have at least one other elite caliber weapon besides Kelce, so that teams, because every now and then a team will do a good job of neutralizing Kelce to a certain extent, and it helps them keep the offense under control. So it's why they should absolutely try to get another weapon.
23 yards receiving in that game.
Yeah, I mean, just awful. And also in that same motion, like, the Chiefs offense was a lot more conservative than it is now. Like, Kelce wasn't quite as explosive as he is now. He wasn't running the option routes like he does now. So, like, it was probably a lot easier to shut him down back in 2015 than it is now. But like, you'll occasionally see a DC do a good job at countering against Kelsey. It's a really bad idea to not have a plan for him to shut him down and force everyone else to stop. Like, force Mahomes to get it to someone else.
But it's a program. They just keep winning. And here, the thing about it is, like, the Eagles, NFC East, last 18 years, they've had 18 different winners. Chiefs have won the division 7 straight years. That only ties the old Rams back in the LA days before they went to St. Louis and the Patriots who won 11 straight. That is hard to do to have that consistency. Because, Chris, the draft pool is usually about two. With comp picks, 256, 258 players selected in the draft. And you have some undrafted free agents that make a difference. But the talent pool's right there. I mean, everybody's on the same playing field, the same money, the same draft pool. And to be that consistent for that long is so tough because they're all looking for the next Mahomes. Matter of fact, when the combine gets rolling here at the end of the month, there's going to be so much scrutiny on the quarterbacks, and I don't think that guy exists in this draft class.
No, I don't think so.
This Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud.
I do like Bryce Young. I really like Stroud.
I like Stroud. Those guys, but Will Levis and these guys. No,
definitely not Anthony. And I'm a Florida guy, not a big fan of Anthony Richardson.
But they're first-rounder guy. But I mean, everybody wants this guy. Can one of these guys be that guy? I don't know.
I mean, I think the guy who might have it is Stroud. I saw something this year in him. But big question is same thing we have with like Tua Tagovailoa and a lot of guys who come from those schools like that with tons of talent. Are they a product of the talent that they played with? Like Tua, I think, was a product of the talent he played with at Alabama.
He had 3 first round receivers.
Yeah.
He had a better receiving. We always make joke around, could an NFL team be the college team?
Right.
That wide receiver room at Alabama was better than most NFL.
I mean, I think the closest we've seen is probably LSU and Burrow and Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson was there.
Oh, Justin Jefferson.
So good.
As good as Justin Jefferson is, he was the number 2 receiver on that team.
I know, that's what I'm saying, yeah. And like all Joe Burrow had to, like, here's how great all Joe Burrow had to do was just heave the ball down the field to those guys.
Backfield, just yeah, whatever.
Clyde was just catching passes in the flats when they were doubling guys down the field, and he was out there eating because everybody was worried about the 2 wide receivers that should be in the NFL.
But they have the arrow on your back, the bullseye. You know, the Rams didn't handle that well this year. It's tough to get back, and we see so many teams that'll make it. And then they can't parlay it into something good. Like the Dolphins, they have something building with Tua and Tyreek Hill and stuff. But if they don't win anything, they didn't really build it. And then they're going to start from scratch again because I don't think they have the right quarterback going forward. And who knows with the concussion problems, anything else, if, you know, one more good hit and he might not be able
to play.
He might be done. So you always have to worry where you're going. Buffalo's window with Josh Allen, they're not really capitalizing on that window they have there. Cincinnati, I do think, is capitalizing a bit on Joe Burrow. He's made a Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to Marino'd. I think he'll make another one.
The Bills are going to be really interesting. They're like $14 million over the cap right now.
And a lot of those guys are all pissed.
Yeah. Not only that, but they got to pay. Like Jordan Poyer's going to be a free agent this year. Micah Hyde's a free agent, I think, next year. They got to start paying some guys. Stephon Diggs is going to be 30.
And he looked mad after the game.
He was really pissed.
I don't know what his disposition is right now. But
yeah, but he's going to be 30 this year. So now, like, you're aging. There's 2 star safeties, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, are both in their early 30s. Jordan Poyer might not be back next year because he's a free agent. They have a lot of questions they got to answer. And not only that, but I'm pretty sure Josh Allen's contract kicks in, his extension kicks in next year. So now you're talking about guys making more money. All of a sudden now, the Buffalo run might be coming to an end sooner than I think a lot of people thought. For the Bengals.
Which really sucks if you're a fan, you get the right quarterback.
Right,
you get
team run. But now you got to start paying guys.
The injury really hurt them.
That was the end of their season right there.
Because their pass rush. I mean, because they couldn't take advantage of 3 starters.
Three backups on the offense. They couldn't get
the Chiefs didn't
Joe Burrow.
Them once they got here.
Yeah, they destroyed them. I mean, Chris Jones just ate against those guys. But, like, the Bengals still got a few years left because they don't – like, Burrow is going to get an extension this offseason – but that contract's not going to kick in until 2025. Same thing with Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase next offseason can get it. That's not going to kick in until like 2026. So like they don't have to worry about their contracts kicking in anytime soon, except for T. Higgins. T. Higgins, final year of his deal. He's going to want to get paid. He's going to want to get paid number one money.
These guys are all going to go play with Mahomes.
Yeah. I think
they're looking at the wide receiver room going, wow, baby.
Yeah, I think that.
Especially if Juju leaves and stuff, they're going to be, ooh.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't know if the Chiefs are going to pay guys a receiver right now. I think they're going to want to, because like they're going to try to make sure that they're not locked up on any big contracts anytime soon, because they know they're going to have to start paying some guys from this squad now. So I think they're going to be very smart about it, but like the Bengals are going to start paying some of these guys, and they're going to start making some tough decisions like the Bills are going to have to this offseason.
What happened to the Royals after 15?
Yeah. You had to start making some tough decisions.
Check came due.
Right. It's nice when you don't have to worry about paying guys because everyone's on their arbitration, on their
rookie
deals.
But you better win before you have to pay them.
Right. So that's why it's so important.
I love that Albert Breer. I don't know if you read that Albert Breer article this week, Monday Morning Quarterback. Sports Illustrated, he wrote a great article.
I didn't.
About paying Mahomes, about how the Chiefs and Brent Tillis.
Excellent Beach, contract.
They start thinking about before he's a starter. Like, we're eventually going to have to, you know, pay this guy.
Yeah.
Because we think this guy's legit. We think this is a future MVP. We think this guy is the real deal. That was the foresight they had. And they were right. He is a champion. He is an MVP. And they said, all right, how can we pay this guy? And so they have a contract. Mahomes is getting paid, but he also has a contract that allows other people to be paid too, because Mahomes realized, I need talent around me. And Tom Brady's done some of that stuff when he was in New England, because he realized, I got to have talent around me. So, you know, let's have a friendly contract here. I'm not making everything and have to see, like, my number one receiver, like Devontae Adams, leave Green Bay.
Yeah.
If you know, a situation like that, which, you know, keep an eye on Aaron Rodgers. He ended up with Vegas.
Yeah, could or
are
the Jets.
See him in this division now.
Or the Jets. I mean, I know that the Jets have been inquired about.
Like that. That's a sleeping team that just doesn't have a quarterback.
Oh yeah, they got a quarterback. Oh, all of a sudden,
that's a good football team.
That's a good team.
Robert Saul's a good coach.
I will say this: Mahomes' contract is getting more and more valuable every year, because like he was only the fifth highest paid quarterback this year, and this is the first year of his extension that kicked in. Fifth highest paid quarterback this year, and he's gonna be lower on that list as guys start getting paid. He's gonna be lower on that list. I think he's barely top 10 next season. So now you don't have to worry about, like, he was the first quarterback I think in NFL history to take up more than 12.5% of his team's salary cap, and they win the Super Bowl. He took up 17% of the salary cap this year, and they won the Super Bowl because they had this great rookie class. Now, as time goes along, things are going to change, and it's going to be easier for this team to win because Mahomes' contract gets more valuable because he's going to start to drop in terms of value.
Rod Kopp, lead analyst over at ArrowheadPride.com, our friend, just posted an AUA. He posted this a couple hours ago. I just saw it. It's a good question. Did Patrick Mahomes just have the greatest season a quarterback has ever had in NFL history? And, well, he did set the NFL record for most all-purpose yardage this year with over 5,600 yards. Right. Didn't win an MVP, didn't win a Super Bowl MVP.
I think it's arguable.
It's very arguable.
I mean, because when Peyton Manning had his season, they got destroyed by the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. When Tom Brady had his season, they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I mean, I think there's a good case. And not only that, but he had one of the all-time Super Bowl performances. Like, that was an all-time performance, what he did in that second half, out there hobbling, that run. We saw how he was walking after he tweaked that ankle in the second quarter.
Dude, he was on adrenaline tonight.
Yeah, it was all adrenaline. He said he did not get shot up in the locker room at halftime. So, adrenaline.
I probably would have taken that needle.
Yeah, I probably would have too. I probably would have too.
It's available, man.
I don't blame him. If he did, I don't blame. There's no judgment here. But he said he didn't, so I'm going to believe him.
Chris, fun hour there. You get plenty of Uno Cereal coming right up here between 3 and 6. We'll catch you. We partly get any of the audio tonight, Chris.
Oh, all the audio. The audio tonight.
We're talking to the people and everything. So thank you. We'll be listening to you. Thank you very much, Jed Marshall, for a great season. I had a fun season with you, and thank you very much. Thank you for listening, everybody. We're world champions in Kansas City. It's going to be a fun day at work tomorrow for you if you can go there. So anyway, good night, Kansas City.